Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb, bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. The stone had been rolled away from the tomb. But when they went inside, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. The women didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them wearing gleaming bright clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day, rise again." Then they remembered his words. When the women returned from the tomb, they reported all they had heard to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women who were with them. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, all he found was the linen cloth. He went home wondering what had happened. Well, hallelujah, he is risen. Okay, not a lot of high church people here. So there's an answer to that. There's an answer to that, and does anybody know the answer to that? Hallelujah. That's right. So this is the traditional Easter greeting, which is hallelujah, he is risen, and you say he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. These are words that don't always come easily to Unitarian Universalists. Even for some Unitarian Universalist Christians, these are words that don't always come easily, because even though Easter is the holiest day in the Christian calendar, you know, this can be challenging for us. Resurrection. Okay. Well, I want science. Well, you know, I like science too. I mean, I was a scientist before I was a minister, I worked in housing economics for 10 years, which is a whole, but before I did, I was a nurse practitioner, and before I was a nurse practitioner, I was a neuroscientist. I mean, I like science. I believe in science. But it's not either or, right? You can have both and. So maybe we can explore that a little bit. What can that all mean? What can resurrection mean for Unitarian Universalists? I mean, what can it mean for Unitarian Universalist Christians? But what can it mean for Unitarian Universalist pagans and atheists and Buddhists? Anything? No, I guess that's, you know. Why do we come to church on Easter if we're for anything? Well, we learn from one another. Do we learn from one another? Please say yes. Okay. Can we get anything from it if it's not our particular holiday? Yes, see, some people know that. So let's explore this. Now I have to tell you something. And I think it's important to be honest with you from the outset that I don't believe in a literal resurrection. And that's nothing to, if you believe in a literal resurrection, I'm not telling you that you have to, I'm not judging, but I think it's important for you to know that I don't believe in a literal resurrection. It's not important to my theology, and if you could prove to me tomorrow that the literal resurrection happened, I'd say, wow, that's really interesting, and my theology would not change. It's not central to my theology. But if you believe in a literal resurrection and that's important to you, and I assure you there are UUs who do, wonderful. I'm not here to stomp on anybody's theology, but I just think it's important for you, you know, for me to full disclosure, right? That I'm speaking to you from a perspective of someone who does not believe in a literal bodily resurrection. And when I shared that with someone in seminary, because, you know, I went to a Methodist seminary and there were probably people from 40 denominations there, and in a class one day I shared that with somebody, and she was just, because that was the core of her faith, well, you don't believe in a bodily resurrection? I don't. Well, that's, wow. So what do you believe in that? So we got, you know, had a very interesting conversation about our faith, because that was the whole core of her faith. So if that's the core of your faith, then hold that. And let that be the core of your faith. But if it's not, and you want to know, like, why do we even talk about it? Well, let's have this conversation now. Because maybe even if it is the core of your faith, maybe there can be other things around it too. Good? Okay. So I thought we could talk about eggs. I collect eggs. I've been collecting eggs since I was about 10 years old. These are, if you've been in my study, maybe you've noticed these, or if you've been in my study, you've been distracted by Fred, and maybe Fred is the only thing you've seen, because some people walk into my study and see Fred and go, whoa. But I have all kinds of interesting things in there. And these sit on my desk, and if you saw the Facebook post inviting you to Easter services today, you saw a picture of three other eggs, and those are from my from my home collection, but I have eggs everywhere. These are called psanki, right? Which are Ukrainian Easter eggs, and they're very delicately designed. I love eggs. They symbolize so much. So I thought maybe we could, and we use them at Easter. Why do we use eggs at Easter? Well, new life, right? New life, and they change, and also. So I thought we could start today. But did anybody get an Easter basket and it had eggs in it? Yeah, cool. Did anybody color eggs for Easter? I love decorating eggs. So let's start with, I hid some eggs around the sanctuary. Who has the pink egg? Where's the pink egg? You have the pink egg. What's inside the pink egg? It says wait to open, right? Open it now. It's empty. Just like the tomb on Easter, it's empty. What does the empty tomb tell us? So if you were here on Good Friday, and we had a very nice service with about 19 of us on Good Friday for the Tenebrae service, you know, you can't have Easter without Good Friday. There was the crucifixion, which was a horrible, terrible thing, and this was a death that was reserved for political prisoners, because it was a way of showing people, this is what we do. Don't rabble rouse. Jesus was nothing if not a rabble rouser, right? Jesus stirred up trouble. Jesus would have been getting down on one knee when they were singing the national anthem. Jesus was woke, yes. Jesus would be blocking bridges. Jesus would be videotaping arrests. Jesus would be making all sorts of trouble, and he did for the Romans, and they crucified him. Being that kind of woke is dangerous, can be dangerous. And he had followers, but he was the leader, and he was crucified. But the tomb was empty. That's right. The tomb was empty. You can't keep Jesus down. He rose again. And whether you believe he literally, bodily rose from the dead, or whether you believe that 2,000 years later, we are still talking about Jesus, and the church is here, and we are still following his example, and that's enough to say Jesus has risen and the church is here. Hallelujah. He rose. The tomb was empty. By the way, that is also the meaning of the empty cross. Now, if you weren't raised Christian, I wasn't raised Christian, and I used to, I wouldn't want to be reminded of the cross, that implement. But the point of the empty cross is it's the empty cross. Jesus isn't on it. He rose from the dead. The tomb is empty. You may beat us down, but you can't keep us down. Now, when we're talking like that, it's a good thing to remember, especially when we're talking about oppression, if we are being the oppressors or if we are taking the side of the oppressed. And in these days, when we are remembering, especially in Unitarian Universalism and with all the stuff that's just happened, that white supremacy doesn't only come wrapped in white sheets or with swastikas, but white supremacy is in how we do things every day, and when we privilege white culture over every other kind of culture, and when we privilege the hiring of straight white men over everyone else, that we need to think about that, right? But you may beat us down, but you can't keep us down. I bet there's some more eggs out there. Let's look at the orange egg. Who's got the orange egg? I know there's an orange egg out there. Find the orange egg. Look, it might be hidden underneath you. Orange egg, what's in the orange egg? Oh, I'm so glad you got that. Well, are they grown or are they little? They're grown, so they are women. Women, a picture of women. Okay. So they're looking at something. It's a picture of women. I couldn't fit actual women in that egg. Little women, yeah, not even little women. You know, it was women who kept the vigil with Jesus. It was women who went to the tomb first to prepare, because Jesus died on the Sabbath, so they couldn't prepare his body, because Jesus was Jewish, right? He was an observant Jew. They couldn't prepare his body on the Sabbath, so they waited until the first day of the week, until Sunday. By the way, in the Christian church, why do we go to church on Sunday? Because in the Christian church, Sunday is the first day of the week, but he rose on the first day, so it becomes the eighth day, and it's a weekly celebration of the resurrection. Anyway, the women go to the tomb to prepare. Never mind that they go to the men, and the men do what sometimes men do when women tell them things. They're all, no, you can't be right. Let's go. Oh, look at that. But it was the women who stuck by. Now, sometimes in some cultures and in some places, women can do things that men can't do because people aren't paying attention to the women. And so women can get away with stuff, right?
Yes.
But there is power. There is power in that. Ignore the women at your peril. And women are doing powerful things now, are we not? I don't want to diminish men. This isn't a, oh, you men don't count. You men do count. But I want to raise up the women, because for a long time we have put down the women. So I want to raise, I'm not putting down the men, I'm raising up the women. You hear me? Yes. Women are powerful, and we can do things, and we have done things throughout history. And we are doing things now, and we are doing things for each other. Now, sometimes we get in trouble. Not just women, but people, but women do this. Sometimes we get in trouble where we start getting in competition with each other because people tell us, you know. Like Sarah didn't have a baby, so she gives her servant to Abraham. And then she's jealous of the servant, and so she takes it out on the servant instead of getting together with Hagar, her servant, and saying, hey, what's with this patriarchy? Let's team up. No, she takes it out. So we have to team up. And, you know, we're becoming more aware of intersectionality now, right? Do you know that the National Organization of Women was founded by a black woman and a white woman? But who gets all the credit? The white woman. We have to be aware of our intersectionality. It's not just, oh, we're working on women's rights now, we'll work on your rights later. We have to work on all the rights together, right? Because there's no such thing as just, you know, taking care of one oppression at a time. We have to work on all of it together. And those women were powerful. So that's another one of the lessons. I'll bet there are more eggs. You'd think I'd know the colors that go in order. Oh, yellow. Who's got the yellow egg? Where's the yellow egg? You got the yellow egg back there? Okay, what's in the yellow egg? Open it up. Open up that yellow egg. There's tape on it. See, there's tape on all these eggs. If you don't have an egg, there's tape on it that says, wait to open. You got it? What's in it? Just cinnamon? Well, there's a lot of cinnamon. What else? What would you call those things? Take a, don't sniff too hard, but what do we call those things? Spices. Okay. So the women brought spices to the tomb. I don't keep a collection of funerary spices in my house. But what were they doing? They were mourning. Jesus had just died. Now, he'd been foretelling this all the time. This is going to happen, and then I'm going to rise up. But, you know, if I said to you, you know, I'm going to die, but 3 days later, I'm going to come back, you're going to be sure that's going to happen, right? They were mourning. They were sad. Has anybody here ever lost anybody important? Does it just like 3 days, yeah, I'm good. No, it takes a long time. They were grieving, and they were going to prepare his body properly. And then they get to the grave, and, And it takes time. And each gospel tells the story a little differently. But even so, in each one, it takes time. It's a, wait, what? Grief is like that. Grief takes time, and we're confused. And even in the midst of Easter and all the joy, and I keep coming back to this, have we been through some stuff in Brew? So is it just going to be, yeah, we're good. We're all good. It's everything's great. It takes time, and sometimes we're reminded of stuff. So we go through certain rituals. We work with each other. We heal each other. And we've started on some of that work. And I keep telling you that you're doing great work. And some of you ask me, well, what's the great work that we're doing? Well, you know, you're examining hard how we structure ourselves, how we make the decisions we make. And that's some of the work that we're doing. And you're working on the grieving, and you're working on talking with each other, and talking to me sometimes, and speaking out the things. I'm upset about this. I'm grieving about that. And that's important. It's important to do that work. So there are spices.
Yellow, green should be next, I think, right? Green, yellow, green, yellow, green. What's in the green? Who has the green egg? Green egg. A candle. A candle. A candle is an important symbol of Easter. It's not lighted because, you know, inside an egg. But we're bringing the light back into the world. Easter is in springtime. We've been through winter, sort of, because, you know. But we've been through winter. We've had some cold days. It's been dark, and now the light is coming back. Things are coming back out of the earth. And we can see again. And we've been talking about being the light. And there's a, you know, there's that literal thing with the light. But there's also our mindset of shining the light on things. Remember when I came here, I told you I was going to shine a light in corners that maybe we haven't shown a light in a little while? And we're doing that. And Easter can mean that too. It can mean new light, new ways of seeing things, new brightness. Some of you commented this morning on my robe and my stole. I've been wearing a black robe all through Lent, and I put on the white robe and the white stole because white is the liturgical color of Easter. New light. Green, blue. Who has the blue egg? What's in the blue egg? Flowers. All kinds of flowers. Yeah, purple and pink flowers. Okay, flowers. So, for Easter, we decorate with flowers. Some of us have flowers on our hats. Flowers are coming up out of the ground. Flowers are a symbol of the new life of spring. We talked a little while ago about the seeds under the earth. Well, they come up and they bloom. And we can think about how we are blooming again. Now the green blade riseth is my favorite. My favorite Easter hymn. Because for me, it embodies what it's all about. Now the green blade riseth from the buried grain. Let us bloom. And you are doing that. You are rising up and resurrecting this congregation and blooming again. Now that was, what color egg was that? Blue. So I bet there's one more egg. It's probably purple. Who has the purple egg? You have the purple egg? What's in the purple egg? Butterflies. Butterflies. All different colored butterflies. Butterflies. Did you know butterflies are a symbol of Easter? They start out as caterpillars. They go into a chrysalis, which is in some ways like a tomb, right? They break forth from the chrysalis, and they emerge as something unrecognizable. It's like they're resurrected. They're completely new. And that's what I see in you again. The heart is there. You know, if you look at a butterfly carefully, it still has those six little legs, right? But it's completely new. Now, we do Easter every year. Why do we do it every year? Because is it one and done? We did it once. We're good. We have solved everything. The earth is completely repaired. We have got this, and we're done. And Brew is completely perfect, and we've fixed everything, and we don't need to do this again. Is that you think that's right? No. But with each time that we do this, do you think we get a little better at it? I think we do. I think each time that we break forth, each time we remember what this means, and remember means remember, re-put back together, recreate. Each time we do this, we learn a little more, we grow a little more, we bloom a little bigger, we become a brighter butterfly. There are things we're still learning here. We'll plant new seeds next year. We'll keep planting seeds this year. But oh my, how you are blooming and growing and resurrecting. And in that, this is an Easter church. So whether you are deep in your heart a Christian, or whether you have come to celebrate Easter with those for whom this holiday has deeper meaning, I hope you have found something here today that you can take with you. I hope you will bloom and grow and spread your butterfly wings. Hallelujah, He is risen. Let me hear that hallelujah a little bigger. Hallelujah! And namaste.